Our scripture reading comes from Psalm 14. For the director of music of David, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand and any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Will evildoers never learn, those who devour my people as men eat bread, and who do not call on the Lord? There they are, overwhelmed with dread. For God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor. But the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion, when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for just another day to come and worship and praise you. We just pray, Lord, that we can lift our hearts up to you and just have a good week and to continue to trust and seek you. Pray this in your name. Amen.
Well, good morning. I've been waiting to do that. If you want to take your Bibles and open them up to 2 Kings chapter 5, please. That's where we're going to be at today. Justin is gone, so you're going to have to bear with me today. It's always good to have your Bible so that you can be reading along, seeing what I'm saying. There's not a lot of risk of heresy being preached from this pulpit when Justin's here, but when I open up my Bible, you just want to make sure that you're following along and paying attention. So, 2 Kings. And we'll go ahead and just open with prayer here. God, I just thank you for this day, and I just thank you for this opportunity where we can just come together and worship you. And I just thank you for this time where we can open up your word and just see what it is that you want to speak to us today, God. It's not me speaking. It's not Justin speaking. It's your word speaking. And I pray that as we listen to your word and as we speak your word, God, that your word and your truths would ring through and that they would have an impact on our lives and not just be something that we hear on Sunday and then go on with the rest of our week, but that every day our minds would be renewed and washed in your word. And so just help that to be true in our lives. Help that to be true in my life, God, as we focus on honing ourselves on your word, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So 2 Kings chapter 5. We'll go ahead and just read through part of it here, and then I'll stop and talk about what we've kind of read, and we'll make our way through this story of Naaman and his leprosy. So, Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given him victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went and told this to his lord. Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read this letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." As we look at this, the first point I want to just make is that God uses simple people for his work. We look at the beginning here, so we have this little Hebrew girl, this little Israelite girl, who's captured and taken back and in the service of Naaman's wife. And she gives this message to Naaman's wife that, hey, there's this prophet that can heal my master. And this message didn't come from, you know, some wise palace official. It didn't come from some prophet in their own country or even a spy in Israel that was seeking things out and came back and told, hey, there's this prophet that can heal you. It didn't even come from Naaman himself going and researching, you know, Googling cures for leprosy, and boop, Elijah comes up. I mean, that's not how it worked. God's message came through this simple little girl. And God used this little girl, although maybe she might have not seen herself as a little slave girl, as in a position to have a mighty impact on two kingdoms. And yet, here she is, God using her. And the same is true of us. Let me just check real quick. I don't see any faces here that I see very often on TV. Nobody too famous here. You all just look pretty ordinary. You don't look bad, but I mean, you're pretty ordinary people. and so am I. And the point is, God doesn't have to use extraordinary, awesome, mighty people to do his work. In fact, he prefers to use the simple. He prefers to use people like you, people like me. Because, I mean, you look at the king of Israel. I mean, he gets the message, and he's just off his rocker like, am I God to kill and to make alive? I mean, he completely missed the point. He didn't see God working. I mean, he had all the authority, all the prestige, all the position that he could have had a mighty impact for God's kingdom. But he was a wicked king. That's another story or whatever. But, I mean, this was one of the wicked kings of Israel, and, I mean, he didn't have his eyes on God. And the same can happen to us sometimes, where we don't have our eyes on God and we miss opportunities to have an impact for God's kingdom. A good rule of thumb to remember, just if you want to make sure that you're keeping your life in a place where you can be used by God, is God is always working in every situation. The sooner you realize this, the sooner that you'll be able to be used for God's kingdom. He's working in every situation. The good times, the bad times, even the mediocre times where you find yourself in a position where you're not in some great and high mighty place, or your job might just be kind of drudgery or just monotonous or whatever, God can use you there. And don't have your eyes closed to those opportunities. Keep your eyes open to those opportunities. We'll go ahead and keep reading here. Pick up to verse 8 here. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me now, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar and rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. But his servant came to him and said to him, my father, it is a great word this prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he not actually said to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The second point I just want to make here is not only does God use simple people, he uses simple things. And if we could just flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's in the New Testament after the four Gospels. Don't worry, you'll have plenty of time to get there because I'm getting there too. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, starting there. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in this world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God didn't use extraordinary things to heal Naaman. Naaman came up to Elisha's door, and he was expecting Elisha to come out and pray some prayer over him and wave his hand over the spot of leprosy. And I don't know, I mean, he had big expectations. He had all these gifts, maybe even like a bolt of lightning come down and hit him and the scales fly off the leprosy and him just be healed. But it wasn't like that. It didn't meet Naaman's expectations. The prophet didn't even come out to see him. He just sent his message to him and that was it. And I mean, even used the River Jordan, which wasn't even as good as some of the rivers that he had just left at home. He'd traveled all this way and came here. And he was so mad and so disappointed that things didn't meet his expectations, that the prophet didn't work or God didn't work in the way that he was expecting, that he almost missed it. He almost turned around and went home, left Elisha behind, left behind his opportunity to be healed. He almost missed it because it didn't meet his expectations. You see, the river was a disappointment. The prophet was a disappointment. But yet, because of one of his wise servants, he went ahead and obeyed anyhow and did what the prophet said, and he was healed. And sometimes the same is true of us. The things God, my second point is God uses simple things. He uses simple people and he uses simple things. And sometimes we miss opportunities that God's giving us. Sometimes we even miss blessings because they don't meet our expectations. We expect something different, and because it doesn't quite go the way we thought, or maybe it's not as awesome or extraordinary, or maybe it's even harder than we expected, we just say, well, you know, that's not for me, or that's not what God, surely God's not working in this, and we miss it. What blessings are you missing in your life right now? What opportunities are you missing in your life right now? Just because they don't meet your expectations. God uses simple things because they bring Him glory. If He were to always use extraordinary things, you know, well, of course, I mean, if He would have used a cleaner river, then you'd say, well, maybe this river in Damascus was so pure that it just washed leprosy away, which is kind of, you know, bogus, but, you know, you'd maybe think that. Or maybe, you know, if Elisha would have come out and done something, you know, maybe he would have thought, you know, oh, this was Elisha, you know, Elisha's got this awesome medical knowledge, and, you know, that's why I'm healed. You know, if God would have used anything different or whatever, if He would have used something like that, I mean, if He would have used something extraordinary or whatever, it would have taken glory away from Him. You know, if he would, by using this little Hebrew slave girl to bring His message, there's nobody that could say, you know, that wasn't God. By healing Naaman in the way that He did, there's no way that you could say that that was God. God brings glory to Himself by using simple people and simple things because it gets us out of the way. Just like in 1 Corinthians where it said, He uses the things that are nothing in this world to bring the nothing. Now I'm flipped away from it. I should just flip back there real quick. It's okay, I'm still learning. I'll get better at this. But flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, he says, God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And isn't that what we want to do? We want to boast and we want to talk about what we've done. We want to feel like we've earned something. And we want to, just like Naaman, he brought all these gifts that he wanted to give the prophet, but Elisha wouldn't accept them because it wasn't Elisha that done the healing, it was God. And the same is true of the gospel. The gospel is really, really simple. St. Jerome said, the scriptures are shallow enough for a babe to come and drink without fear of drowning, and yet deep enough for theologians to swim in without ever reaching the bottom. And it's true. Like, you look at the gospel message and you look at God's word, and there's all this complexity. I mean, we've got a thick book here to study, and it tells a magnificent plan of God's story of redemption. You have the fall in the Garden of Eden, and then you have the Israelite nation, and then you have Jesus coming, all these things working together and building towards this huge plan that God has for our redemption. And you can get into all these different studies of, you know, prophecies and how God's working through all these things, but when you boil it all right down, the gospel is just really simple. We are, if you look at Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death. We are all sinners. By our sin, we've earned death. Simple. I don't think anybody here would argue that they don't have simple. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you don't think you have any sin in your life, I mean, if you've even just transgressed God's law one time, Jesus said even just to hate your brother is a sin. And I think we've all hated somebody here, a total lie or something. The point is, God's standard is perfect. And you fall short of that, and you can no longer stand before a perfect and holy God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we were sinners, but Christ came and He paid the price that we owed. He paid the penalty for our sin. He came And he took our sin upon him and died on the cross. And he paid that, because God is just. And if there wouldn't have been a penalty paid for our sins, if God would have just gave it all a pass and forgot all about those sins and not done anything about them, he wouldn't be just. And if he wasn't just, would he really be loving? And so a penalty had to be paid, and Jesus came and he paid that penalty. And so now, Christ didn't stay on that cross, but he rose again. And so now, by turning away from our sin and turning towards Christ, we can have salvation or redemption from our sins. It's simple. You turn away, or another word is repent. You turn away from your sin, and you turn towards Christ, and you believe in him. There's not a lot more to it. I mean, you're not going to be perfect when you turn your life to Christ. You're not going to just immediately, all of a sudden, not sin anymore. But I promise you that if you turn your life over to Christ and if you allow him to work in your life, that sin that you've turned away from, it'll just start to be further and further from you. God will start to sanctify and work in your heart. And you may never be perfect in this life, but God will continue to sanctify you and work out that sin in your life and continue to draw him nearer to you and closer to his likeness. But sometimes this is too simple for some of us. And also, Naaman, he brought all these gifts and he wanted to pay for his healing. He wanted to give something for it. He had all these changes of clothing. He had all of these, this money that he brought, gold and shekels of silver, and Elisha wouldn't accept any of it. Because that would give Naaman the idea, well, it's because I paid this money, I received this healing. The same is true of the gospel. The gospel is free, but the gospel isn't cheap. Christ came, he left his heavenly throne, and he died on a cross, suffered in agony, but then he rose again. Through the power of God, he rose from the grave, conquered death, and offers you an opportunity to salvation. And when you try to pay for the gospel, whether it's through your good works, good things you do, good things you say, maybe money you give to the church, whatever it may be, whatever your good deed is that you try to pay for your salvation, you say, well, God's work, the gospel, redemption is only worth that much. You say, well, you know, I gave $1,000 to the church or $100 to the church or whatever, and now I'm good. God must really like me now, and that's how I'm going to be saved. You say, God's work that he did on the cross through Jesus is only worth that much. And you cheapen the gospel when you say, you know, all these good works that I'm doing, you know, that's what's going to save me. You say that the work that God done, that Jesus done on the cross is only worth as much as helping a little old lady across the street or shoveling out your neighbor's yard or sidewalk or whatever. You cheapen the gospel. Don't cheapen the gospel. Don't try to pay for it. It's the free gift of God. The free gift of God, see, right there, is eternal life. And it's through Christ Jesus our Lord. And the only thing worse than cheapening the gospel by trying to pay something for it, the only thing worse than lowballing God's offer of grace by saying, here's what I got to offer for it, the only thing worse than that is just not accepting it at all. Is just letting that offer sit there and not doing anything with it. God paid a hefty price for this opportunity for salvation. And he's calling after you. He's pursuing after you. He wants your heart. I mean, he wouldn't have went through all this trouble if he didn't truly love you and want a relationship with you, because that's what he wants. He wants to restore that relationship that he once had in the garden with Adam and Eve, but sin separated that. But now, he's given us this opportunity to come back to him. Don't just leave that opportunity sitting there, because I would be pretty foolish if I stood here and didn't think that there wasn't somebody here or a couple people here or a lot, that didn't know Christ and didn't have that relationship with him. And if that's a relationship you want to start, why put it off? You see, the gospel isn't just about getting your get-out-of-hell-free card, but also there's an abundant life that you can be living right now. Yes, with persecutions, but you're going to face trials whether you have Jesus or not. The question is, do you want to face those trials with Jesus or without him? And so if that's a decision you want to make, I'm not going to do an altar call, get in trouble, but I don't really want to do that anyhow, but find somebody after church that can take and point you to God's word. And if you go up to them and they're like, I don't know, you know, anything about salvation, then grab that person and go find somebody else that can help both of you find God and His Word and help you to start growing and start that relationship right now. And I assure you, it's one of the best decisions, one of the most important decisions you'll make in your life. I ran out of notes here. I don't know how long I was supposed to talk, but I'll go ahead and just close this with prayer here, and then we'll have the worship team come up. God, I just thank you for this day. I just thank you for this opportunity that we just have to praise you and worship you through song, fellowship with other believers here, God, and just enjoy your presence. I just pray that as we sing these songs, that we wouldn't just sing them, God, for our own enjoyment, although that's part of it too, God. We enjoy bringing praise to you, but God, we could just offer them up as a song of worship to you, and that the worship just wouldn't stop here, God, with our singing, with our listening and fellowshipping, God, but that we could carry it through the rest of our week and even in our attitudes and how we work and how we talk with others, God, that it could just be a continual act of worship, God. So just be with us now and just be with us as we go out throughout this week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Have a blessed day.